today we're talking about Peter is the everyday disciple. Why did I name it he's the everyday disciple? Because I think sometimes we look at the disciples, these 12 guys that followed Jesus, and we think, man, they were so extraordinary. They must have been awesome. They must have had the best minds. But as we read about them in the Bible, we find out they were ordinary guys just like us. And that's what Peter's like. So I left you a little space there to fill in what I just told you. He's a Galilean. He's a fisherman. He's a husband. He's a brother. He's all these things that ordinary people are. And I think Peter actually stands in contrast to Paul in the Bible. We all know Paul. He wrote, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians. He wrote all these books. And I was reading one chapter of Ephesians the other day, and I felt like my mind blew up. It was a run-on sentence, but it had so much in it. I mean, Paul is such a good writer. He writes such great stuff. It's so deep. And I think Peter stands in contrast to Paul in a lot of ways. You know, Paul even writes, I mean, Paul's a humble guy, don't get me wrong, but he writes about it and he says, you know, I was a Jew of all Jews, born on the correct day in the Jewish calendar, all these different things. You know, I went through the school to become a rabbi. I'm really smart. And he says, and Paul is humble about it. And then Peter on the other side, I think Peter's just a good old boy. He's just a good old boy from Galilee. And what I think is so cool about the body of Christ is that it needs both of those kinds of people. It needs the people that are really deep, that can think deep. If you went to the men's summit last Monday, man, we heard some great minds talking about some things of the Bible, about logic and philosophy and questions that we struggle with. But the body of Christ needs both of those kinds of people. And so I want to give you a contrast. Now, Aaron Osborne's not in here, but I want to contrast myself with Aaron Osborne. Between a good old boy and the guy that can get the deeper things. Aaron knows Hebrew. Aaron has the periodic table of elements memorized. I don't even know one. He has it memorized. Aaron can like quote, I feel like he knows the entire Bible. And when we were going on the mission trip to Semp last year, I'm like, I've got to memorize all these verses. Like, why don't I have these memorized? You know, Aaron can understand the deeper things of the faith, and I feel like I have the strengths that God's given me, and the body of Christ needs both of those. And I just think that's what's so cool about the Bible, is it doesn't stray away from people like Peter. And we're going to learn about Peter today. We're going to learn about three things about him. And that's part, I'm going to give you Matthew 18:20. It says, Jesus sees a man of faith. Jesus sees Peter, and he sees that he is a man of faith. Now, there's a lot of verses today. I'm telling you, straightforward, there's a lot of verses. That's why on your table, I have printed out for you all the verses I'm going to go along with today so that you can see them and walk with them, okay? Matthew 4:18-20 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said. I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus sees Peter and he knows him. He says, this is a man of faith. He might just be a simple guy. He might just be a fisherman. He might just be a husband. He might just be a brother. He might just be a towns guy that's in the town. But he sees in him that he's a man of faith, and he calls him and he says, come follow me. I want you to be part of my group. I want you to go beyond just fishing for fish. I want you to fish for men, something that is eternal and great. And God sees Peter and says, I want that guy to be part of my team. So there's three things we're going to learn about Peter today. Peter, this everyday disciple, we're going to learn how he had great faith. We're going to learn how he had weak faith. And we're going to learn how he was changed by Christ. And that was the reason for it all. That's why Peter was different. That's why he could be an everyday guy that did some extraordinary things, because he was changed. He was changed by God. He was living proof, as we talked about in that last series on speech. Is our lives living proof? Peter was living proof that Jesus was real and that he changed lives. So how do we handle a character study? I just want to walk us through this, because I'm like, man, when I was studying for this message, I'm like, well, what do I want to tell them? How do I want to walk them through Peter's life? So I just want to give you some simple things on how do we handle a character study. The first one is, I'm going to highlight Peter's life for you. I'm not going to tell you everything about Peter's life, but I am going to walk you through some significant things in his life so you can get a good snapshot of what Peter was like. You're going to learn from his story. So B is, I will learn from his story. And that question of, what is God trying to teach me? I mean, I think God gave us so much information in the Bible about Peter because he wanted us to learn from his life. He wants us to see, and we love stories. We love seeing people's lives. We follow people. Whether good or bad, we follow them. And I think that's what God wants to do. He wants to see this life of Peter and say, what can I learn? What can I take? How can I live this out? How can I learn from Peter's life? Kind of ask that question, where do I fit in the story? Where do I fit in the story of Peter? Where can I kind of jive with him in that way? And then the final is, look for Christ in Peter's life. Above all, look for Christ in Peter's life. Because, you know, as I was praying this morning, I said, God, we can come here on a Sunday morning. We can have a lot of fun stuff. We can have a hoedown on Sunday night. We can do fun things. But God, if you're not in it, then it's just a lot of good earthly things that we had fun with. But Lord, if you're in it, then it's real and it's eternal. That's why I want you to look for Christ, how Christ worked in Peter's life, and learn how can he work in my life? Because he can do the same thing in your life. So the first one is, number one, he was an everyday disciple of great faith. So the first part we're going to hit on is, how was Peter an everyday disciple of great faith? And where we pick up with that is in John chapter 6. Now, I want to read for you, and you can read along with me, in John 6, 53 through 58. So it's the second one down. It says, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise them up in the last day. And then verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. The answer is a man and died, but whoever feeds on the bread of life will live forever. Because I wanted to give you that. So I want you to get the context of what happens in the next story. Do you get that? If you read that, I hope you were like, that's a little weird. I don't totally get that. Jesus says, if you eat of my body, if you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, then you'll have eternal life. So that's the context of this. That's what Jesus says to his disciples, people that are following him. And when Jesus says this, a bunch of people left. A bunch of people that had been following him for a time and thought, this is the guy, this is the one we want to follow. He says this and they're like, we're out of here. I don't want any more part of that. And what Jesus really means by that is means if you take part in me, if you let me come into you and live inside you and take part in me, you will have real life. But they took it so literally, and they're like, yeah, that's weird. I don't want to follow this guy, right? So that's what just happens. Now, look at John 6, 60 through 69. On hearing it, many of his disciples says, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And that's what all of us are like, yeah, who can accept that? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life, yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him, and that was Judas. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one came to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So these disciples, a lot of the disciples that were following him, they left. They said, we don't get this. We don't understand this. We don't want to follow this guy. Some weird stuff. And then he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked this to his 12 disciples, those that were following him. Peter was one of them. And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. When everyone else, so many people had deserted Jesus because of this hard saying, and Jesus says, will you guys leave too? Peter says, with great faith, Peter says, you alone have the words of eternal life. That's great faith. That's hard. That's hard to say when there's a hard saying that we don't get right away, when it seems hard to follow him. Peter says, "You alone, Lord, have the words of eternal life." And I like it how he says in verse 69, "You have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." See, they had seen in the past, they had already seen Jesus heal people. They had heard Jesus talk about how he was the Son of God. They had seen it in their lives, and so many of you have seen it in your lives. You may have not have seen Jesus heal somebody, but you've seen him walk you out of a sin. You've seen him do something in your family. And then something hard comes up for Jesus to ask you to follow, and you're like, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I understand it. I don't know if I get it. I think I'll just back off." And Peter's saying, "I've seen it and I believe it. And Jesus, I know you have the words of eternal life. There's no one else I can go to." And I think about the Holocaust. I think about people that were willing to give their lives to help shelter Jews. They knew there was a great cost to do that. But they said, "No, we know who God is. We know that Jesus is real. We know that he's called us to do this." They heard his voice and they followed, no matter what the cost was, because they had seen it and they believed it. And that's what Peter's saying. He's saying, "Lord, no matter what the cost is, I'll follow you because you have the words of eternal life." I think about house churches in China. They can't just have church like this. I couldn't just come up here and speak. But they say, "You know what? We've heard the words of Jesus. We've seen him work in crazy ways. We're going to believe him no matter what. We will gather together because we're called to do that. Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life." Because you know what? Most people are out when it's hard. Most people are out when it's hard. You see that in a lot of different areas in life. When things get hard, a lot of people are out. And only the ones that are really committed, that really believe it, are going to stay in. And you guys see that in your walk a lot. You've seen your friends around you that said, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." But then when it got hard, when they really had to say no to themselves on things, they backed away because it took being committed. Peter is committed. There's no turning back. He's seen the healings. He's heard Jesus' words. He saw the Samaritan woman, Jesus forgive her sins. He'd seen these things and he says, "I'm committed. I have faith. I'm following him. Jesus, you have the words of eternal life." So that's the first one instance in Peter's life of great faith where he says, "Jesus, when everybody else is turning back and I don't totally get what you're saying, I know you have the words of eternal life and I will follow." Now the second one is in Matthew 14, 22 through 23. A lot of you probably have heard this, maybe not always, okay, but it's when Peter gets out of the boat, when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter gets out and takes a couple of steps, right? Now, I want you to walk with me. First thing is, this happens right after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 people with like a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. They feed 5,000 people. That's what you call a miracle. That's a miracle. That's where you laugh. That's a joke. 5,000 people. Okay. 5,000 people. He fed them. So that's right before that. So then Jesus says, "Look, you guys get on the boat. You go out on a little bit of ways. I'm going to go up to this mountain. I'm going to pray. And then I'll come back down." So they're a little ways out in sea. Now it's getting a little stormy. It's dark, and they see something on the water, and they all become afraid. So that's where it picks up in Matthew 14. It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." So they kind of see him. It's still a little bit light. "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" He said, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. You're looking at it, you're saying, "Lee, how is that a great step of faith? That doesn't seem like faith. He walked in the water once and then he fell in." And I'm not denying that. I think in the end he lost his faith. But I do want to point out, he was the only one to get out of the boat. Peter was the only one to step out of the boat. I'm thinking that takes great faith to even be willing to step out of the boat. That I really believe he heard the voice
And he made sure, he says, Jesus, if that's really you, because I think I'm seeing something. I don't totally get it. I don't know what's going on. But Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come and I'll come out. And Jesus says, come on. And he's the first one. And he steps out. And because of his faith, he actually walks on water for a couple of steps. And then he does, he loses his faith. And I don't want to over-spiritualize this story, but I do wonder, what is God calling you to get out of the boat for? What is God calling you? You've heard his voice. They heard Jesus' voice. Jesus said, come out, come out. What is God calling you to get out of the boat for? I want to give you a couple examples that Lord might be doing that. Maybe he's calling you to start a Bible study at your school. Maybe you've heard his voice to be the one that starts FCA at your school, or maybe a prayer time at school. What about missions? Maybe Jesus is putting your heart to be a part of overseas missions. Maybe it's to share the gospel with your friend, a teammate, or someone in your band. Maybe it's that. But Jesus is calling you. You've heard his voice. You know it. You know what Jesus is saying. Do that. Follow me. What about if it's something as simple as you hear his voice, spend time with your parents? What about if it's to be pure, morally, spiritually, sexually? You've heard his voice and he's saying, you know what, but there is a point where you've got to take a step of faith. And so how is it that Paul or that Peter would have such great faith and such little faith all at the same time? Because that's kind of a crazy story, that he actually gets out of the boat, the only person ever to walk on water that we know of. And so he takes a couple steps and does it, but then he falls in, he loses his faith. Why is that? It's because he started seeing the things around him, the wind, the storms, the things that don't always make sense, the things that are hard, the trials, and he took his eye off Jesus. If he would have kept his eye on Jesus, he would have said, Jesus is walking on the water. I know that's Jesus. I know I can trust in him. But what happens is the other things in life, they end up coming in. They swirl around us. We take our eyes off Jesus, and that's when we lose our faith. So we have to keep our eyes on Christ, which looks like a lot of different ways, and it's not a bunch of rules, but it's things that you do that say, Jesus, I want to stay close to you. I want to walk with you. I will make a commitment to do that. So I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced that, having such great faith and then losing faith so quickly. I know I've been there. Why? Because I started seeing the circumstances that didn't totally make sense right away, the trials that came in, and then I lost faith. And how do we beat it? We realize it's all about Christ. It's all about staying centered on Christ. I think Peter in his life proves it, that we can do things that we never thought possible, crazy things that don't even always make sense if we keep our eyes on Christ and have faith in him. And I have to wonder, how did Peter feel after that? I mean, to put myself in that situation, I got to think, that must have been crazy. I mean, he walks on water and then he falls in. I feel like in one way he had to be bummed and be like, why did I not keep going? And then in another way, I think, you know, he was probably like, wow, that was crazy. I just walked on water. So that is the story in Peter's life of how he had great faith. And yes, he lost faith the same time, but he was willing to take the step. I think the challenge from Peter's life there is that he saw Jesus. Jesus called him to it, and he got out of the boat. And for you guys, what, and for us, what is God calling us to do? What is he putting in your life right now? He's like, there's always the next step that Jesus is calling us to do. What's he calling you to do? Will you step out of the boat in faith? I want to, the third one is, it's not one there. I want to walk you through a quick story that is a story of faith. I don't know if you've ever read this before, but it's about, let me just read it. Follow with me. Matthew 17, 24 through 27. It says, after Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? They're talking about Jesus. Doesn't he pay the temple tax? Peter says, yes, he does. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. Simon also is Peter's name. He says, from whom do the kings of the earth collect duties and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that you may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them, for my tax and yours. I don't want to talk about that too much, but I just thought that's a kind of a crazy story in the Bible of faith. I mean, they don't tell us that Peter went and did it, but I'm pretty sure he did. They didn't tell us he didn't. He goes out, he throws his line out, first fish he pulls up, there's the coin in there, and he goes and he pays the temple tax. That's another act of simple faith. Jesus said, go throw your, if Jesus came in here today and said to one of you guys, okay, go out to one of the lakes and rest in the first line you throw out, there'll be a 50-cent coin in there and go pay that. We would all be like, that's crazy. There's no way. But Peter said, that's Jesus. He can do things. And I have faith in that. And he went and he did it. So some examples of the great faith in Peter's life. And I want to walk through a couple examples of an everyday disciple of weak faith. An everyday disciple of weak faith. We're picking up in Mark 8, 27 through 30. Then Jesus and his disciples went out to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. And then it says, Jesus warned them not to tell anyone. So Peter knows exactly what he's saying. When he says, you're the Messiah, he's saying, you are the anointed one. You are the one that the Old Testament has talked about, that is coming to save us of our sins. You are the Messiah. You are the one that they have talked about. Peter knows exactly what he is saying. And this is kind of another one of those hard sayings, a tough calling. So pick up in the next one, Mark 8, 31 through 33. It says, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And then he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. So Jesus told him plain and simple, look, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to go away from you guys. And then it says, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So Peter, after hearing this, what he didn't want to hear from Jesus, Peter didn't want to hear from Jesus, he's going to have to suffer. He's going to have to die. Peter didn't want to hear that. So he pulls him aside and rebukes him. He's like, Jesus, don't say that. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. And then here's what Jesus says to him. He says, but when Jesus turned, he looks at his disciples. He rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. When I read that, I said, when I read that before and same for this, I said, man, Jesus, that is tough. That is tough. You're willing to say to Peter, you are acting like Satan because you are merely concerned about human things and not of the things of God. And what did Satan have? What was Satan's issue? Satan's issue was pride. Satan's issue was pride. He wanted to be like God instead of being a servant of the Most High God. And that's why Jesus gave such a serious rebuke to Peter. Because he said, you are only concerned about worldly things. You are only concerned about your pride. And you're the things that you want. Because Peter thought, if Jesus went away, then Peter wouldn't get what he wanted. The things that he wanted. Peter thought he wanted something different than what Jesus really was. And we're going to learn in a little bit how Peter changed. But I think that moment was a defining moment in Peter's life. And we all have those defining moments. Moments in our life where we think, you know what, I've got it all together. I know everything that's right. And I remember being there in high school, I thought I had it all together. I go to college, I've got it all together. And then Jesus kind of turns my life upside down and he says, you know what, I'm in control. And it's a journey from there to give God control over. But I think that's what Peter did. I think at that time, Peter gave control over to God. So we think if we obey Jesus, we're missing out on something. That's what Peter was saying. You know, if Jesus really does this, I'm going to miss out on something. I'm going to miss out on what all my friends are doing. I'm going to miss out on making a bunch of money. I'm going to miss out on all these different things. That's what we think. If we obey Jesus, that's what's going to happen. But look in Mark, the next one, Mark 14, 66 through 72. Sorry, wrong verse. Later on, that's where, right after that, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. I think Jesus used that as an example in Peter's life. You know, there's going to come times where you have to deny yourself and let your pride go. The truth is when we lack faith, we do miss out on something. We don't want to follow Christ. When we lack faith, we miss out on something. And what we miss out on is we miss out on God working in our lives. A friend, a family member coming to know Christ, we'll miss out on that if we don't walk in faith there. We could miss out on a crazy answered prayer because we were scared. We didn't want to have faith. We can miss out on just simply growing spiritually, growing in our walk with Christ because we don't want to let go. And then the second thing I want to show you is there's an open denial. Peter, in his lack of faith as an everyday disciple, as he lacks faith, is in John chapter 13. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for him." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So Jesus actually, he tells Peter, "You will deny me three times." So Jesus tells him it straight up, straightforward. And as we look and continue on to Mark 14, it continues on with the story. It says, "While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. 'You were also with the Nazarene Jesus,' she said. But he denied it. 'I don't know or understand what you're talking about,' he said. And he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those who were standing around, 'This fellow is one of them.' Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, 'I don't know this man you are talking about.'" So this is Peter now denied Jesus three times, and not too much longer before that, he had said, "You're the Messiah. You have the words of eternal life. I'll follow you wherever you go." And then in his lack of faith, he denied Jesus three times and says, "Immediately the rooster crowed the second time." Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and he wept. And I had to ask myself the question, and I ask you guys this question. I think we think initially, I would never do that. I wouldn't do what Peter did. If Jesus would have told me you're going to deny me three times, I would have done anything possible to not have done that and denied Jesus. But yet, I think we do sometimes do it in little ways where we say, someone says, "Are you a Christian?" "Ah, kind of. I kind of follow him." And then there's the, "Not really. I don't really follow him." And then it comes to the point where you've hardened your heart and you say, "Nope, I don't follow him." Because it's been a sliding away, and that's what it was like for Peter. The first time he said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And finally, at the end, he was throwing down curses and saying, "I don't know who that man is." So in verse 72, Peter broke down and wept. I think Peter had realized what he had done. It hit him. "I did exactly what I said I would never do. I said I'd follow Jesus anywhere. And it came to a point where I denied him." He realized he couldn't take it back. And he was at a place where he never thought he'd be. And I think for probably almost all of us, we will have not a moment exactly like this, but we will have some times in our life where we will do things we never thought we would do because of a lack of faith in Christ. And we hit that point where we realize, "Man, I thought I'm where I never thought I would be." So what do we do? What do we do with Peter's lack of faith? Because it's like, okay, wait, did God still use him? I think we need to see that God used it. God used Peter's lack of faith. We need to see that how God has used your times of little faith. How has God in your life used your times where you didn't trust him, but he still used it in your life? And then look at 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, therefore I am strong." There should be times in life where we say, "Jesus, I got this much faith. That's all I got. I'm struggling right now." Man, put that at his feet. Say, "I believe you this much, Jesus. Will you work? Because I know that when I'm weak, that means you're strong. I think that's where Peter came to after this, when he denied him three times. I think Peter finally realized, you know what, Lord? When I'm weak, when I don't totally get it, when I have to have full faith in you, that's when you're strong. Not when I think I got it all together. Not when I think everything's perfect, I got it in control. But when I'm weak, you are strong. So Peter was an everyday disciple of great faith. He was an everyday disciple of weak faith. And he was an everyday disciple that was changed by Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5, it says, this is after Jesus has died, he's been in the tomb. And Paul's writing this, he says, For what I received, I pass on to you of utmost importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas. And that's Peter. Cephas is Peter. That was his name, I think, in the Hebrew or Aramaic. Cephas was his name. So Jesus appears to Peter first of all the disciples. Peter was the first one. That's crazy to me. Think about that for a moment. Peter was the one that right before Jesus was taken over to the authorities to be killed, was the one that denied him. And now Jesus is the first one to appear to him. What is that? That's grace. That's grace. Getting what we don't deserve. Man, Peter denied Jesus three times, and Jesus first appears to Peter, I think, just showing his grace. And as you walk through, you see in Peter's life that he ends up becoming a leader within the disciples. He's at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven to indwell the Christians. Peter's a main leader in that. And Peter ends up being the one that God uses to open salvation to the Gentiles, which is why we're here. That's what Peter was a part of. But see, you have to look back. Why was Peter an everyday disciple changed by Christ? Because there was all these moments in his life that God used. From the things of great faith, God used to show himself, to the things of when he was weak in faith, God used them to shape him. And it was Christ that changed him. Because Peter was just an everyday guy. He was from Galilee. He had an accent. He was just a fisherman. He was just a husband. He was just a brother. But see, he was just those things. But when Christ came in his life and changed him, that's when he was something different. That's when he was an everyday disciple changed by Christ. I invite you guys. You might be thinking, yeah, I'm just ordinary. I don't have anything that special. When Christ is in your life, he can change you to do awesome things. And I think that's what Peter's life is all about, that he was just an everyday disciple that was changed by Christ. And I want to throw one more thing out there. This Wednesday for small groups, we're meeting here at the main building for the missions week. Come hear stories of people that were just everyday, ordinary people that are disciples of Christ that were changed by him. You can hear their stories of what they've done. And stories change us a lot. So I invite you guys here next Wednesday. And I've got two questions for you to talk about. One is, what stood out to you about Peter's life? What motivates you from Peter's life to have faith in God? So talk about those questions, and then Bob's going to come up and close down with an announcement.